Would you stand with me, please? Amen. Over the years, I've read that there are some cultures that do not have a word for thank you because they don't say their thank yous, they do their thank yous. So when someone does something nice for them, they don't say thank you. They feel obligated to do something for them. And that's a great way to show your gratitude. And I believe it's not enough just to say thank you to God, but it's appropriate for us to do something for Him. Rather than just verbalize, we need to do something for what He has done for us. Amen? Amen. If you'll turn to Romans, the first chapter. Starting in verse number 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you cannot hold truth in unrighteousness. When people have truth and they decide that righteousness isn't that important any longer for the sake of society today, we have to dumb it down. God then says, give me the truth back, you see, because truth can only be held in righteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Because they were not thankful, things changed. It might seem like a little deal, but it really isn't. We have to be thankful every day for what God does for us. We can't just attribute one day to our thanksgiving. Amen. And then if you go to Philippians 4 and 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And then 2 Corinthians 9. Verse number 7, it says, "Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." So here's God's promise. He's saying, you know, as you give and you're grateful to give, let me just assure you, everything that you need, I'm going to take care of it. There's no sense tossing and turning every night whether or not you're going to have enough for this or God, am I going to die from that? It's right here. As it is written, "He hath dispersed abroad and he hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Wow, I got a raise on the job. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, I felt the touch of God, and now I feel stronger than I... Thank you, Jesus. You see, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. So as God gives us these things, all of a sudden we've got a grateful people that are always thanking God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It probably should be a daily thing that we say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word. Oh, what a great book. What great words. What confidence we have because of the words that we read. Continue to bless, touch, and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So we see by these scriptures, it is imperative that we be thankful to God, because if we're not, we could lose our salvation. We could lose our provision because we're not thankful. You know, when people are thankful, you want to bend over backwards in order to help them. But if you do something for someone and, oh, yeah, you know, where's the incentive to go out of your way to help somebody? And we're created after the image of God, you see. Not just at the beginning of our walk with God, but every day we need to be thankful. Psalm 68 and 19 says, Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. So what are we thankful for tonight? In fact, every morning we ought to wake up and say, God, I want to just thank you for being able to wake up this morning. You know, today, this month, this year, some of you have been healed from cancer. Some of you have been given jobs. Some of you have, well, been protected from terrible things that could have happened to you that you don't even know about. And from time to time, we need to reassess God's benefit to us and thank him. Amen. Hallelujah. This is a Thanksgiving message. I was thinking today, I've had a lot of cars in my life, and I've had a lot of beautiful cars. I've had a lot of new cars. I've had cars through companies that, you know, I've had, but there was one I was more grateful for than any other car, and it was my very first car. It was a 1948 Plymouth Coupe. And it was given to me, and I've said this before, by my pastor for $1. And there was this feeling when I got in that car, this is my car. I have a freedom to drive it. All I need is a couple of dollars for gas, you know. I've had a lot of cars after that. I've never felt the same about any other car than that first car of mine, you see. And you see, we have to be grateful. I remember seeing a little bitty car. I think, I don't know what they call those little things that don't even look like a car, but they're small. Huh? Smart car, yeah. I don't know why you could call that a smart car. But on the license plate, it had GR8FUL. Grateful. Well, I mean, if he can be grateful for that car... It was basic transportation. It wasn't a Cadillac. It wasn't a BMW. It wasn't a Mercedes. But he was grateful for that car. Amen. I have a picture on the counter at my house after my granddaughter got her first little Mini Cooper, and she was putting gas in it, and there was this huge smile on her face. This was her first car. I relived my own experience through her gratefulness. You know, the more people have, it seems less grateful they are. I've seen license plates on expensive cars that said, earned it, paid for it, my toy, you know. In other words, I got it myself. It was because of my hard work. It was because of my intelligence. It was because of my decisions. But if we in the church don't assign gratitude to God, we are in danger of losing what God has allowed us to have in the first place. James 1 and 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. So if we have anything, we have it from God. I got an email today that said in Malawi, 539 have received the Holy Ghost and 160 baptized in the last 24 hours. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Amen. And I gotta believe those people are as poor as you can be, but they have the greatest gift, and they probably will appreciate it more than we who are in America that have everything going for us. Hallelujah. Oh, we need to be grateful to God for every little brain cell, every slice of bread, every new pair of socks. Amen. Amen. Because no matter what we receive or how brilliant or how hard we work for it, all good gifts come from God. Amen. Gratefulness is the supply train that keeps the blessings coming. Yeah. I believe that with all my heart. Gratefulness is the supply train that keeps the blessing coming to us. And if we are a cheerful giver, then I believe that God is a cheerful giver. Amen. There are people who are in financial destitute over and over and over again, and it's basically because they're not a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. It's God's promise, but there's always a prerequisite. Paul said in Philippians 4 and 18, but I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. When we are grateful and give to the needs of God's cause, nothing can stop the flow of blessings from God. Nothing. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. With thanksgiving. Thank you, God. I don't deserve it, but thank you, God. You see, we need to be grateful for what God has done for us. I believe much of the trouble this world is facing today is they feel that they're entitled to things. And I believe in America especially, there are a lot of people who just feel entitled. I should be. You should be giving to me. And then they are never thankful for what they get if they feel like they're entitled. And in fact, they complain because there isn't more than what they have. I hesitate to say this, but a lot of years ago, we had a food pantry. And my wife and I, every week, would go down to Second Harvesters, fill up our entire van with food because it was very reasonable, and we'd stock it. But after a while, people would actually, in the church, not, of course, any of you, would complain, that's all there is? Didn't they have any, you know? And I thought, you know what? Nah. We're creating a welfare mentality within the church. Why don't you do something for God and let God bless you in another way, you see? You'll probably remember this. Years ago, the NFL referees went on strike. And so what they did is they used high school refs. and college refs. And there was all kinds of complaining because there were bad calls. But those referees were having the time of their life because now they were on the field with professional NFL players. They were so excited just to be there. They didn't even care about the criticisms. I've used this illustration before, but it's so appropriate for this message. In 1995, spring training, baseball spring training, didn't start with any major leaguers because they decided they weren't getting enough money. You know, they were getting millions, but that wasn't enough because it wasn't supporting their six houses and on and on. So millions of dollars were abated, and big bats were in the rack, and the players were not satisfied with contracts that they had signed. So the owners threw open the gates to almost anybody who could scoop up a grounder or somehow run out a bunt. These were not minor leaguers that came to play in the major leagues. They were guys who were coaching little league and wearing big league uniforms now. Line drives rarely were seen hit out of the infield because they just didn't have the ability. One manager said that their pitcher threw so slow that their radar gun couldn't even clock it. But these guys had more fun than anyone who had ever played the game. They weren't there for the money. They were there because they just loved the play of the game. They got on big league fields, you see. And when the coach said run, they ran. They arrived before the park opened. And they stayed until the grounds crew kicked them off the park. They thanked the attendants who washed their uniforms. They thanked the caterers for bringing the food, whatever kind of food they brought into the clubhouse. They were just grateful to eat it. They thanked the fans for showing up, you know. The line of players willing to sign autographs was longer than the line of people who wanted the autographs. These guys didn't see themselves as a blessing to baseball, but baseball was a blessing to them. There was joy in the camp again. And the fans could see that these guys really loved the game. It wasn't for a paycheck. You missed the frozen rope pickoffs, but the joy of the players made up for the lack of the ability. What made them so special? They were living a life they didn't deserve. They weren't picked because they were good. They picked because they were willing. No one argued over salary, position, poor calls. They thanked the umpires, never questioned the management, didn't complain that their name wasn't on the back of their uniform, didn't get any credit. They were just grateful to be on the team. Church, we are living a life we don't deserve. We weren't picked because we were good. We were picked because we were willing. We're picked because we enjoy what we're doing. Amen. This isn't something that we have to do. It isn't something that we get paid for. We just said, let me in the game. Let me worship one more time. Reassure me, Lord, that I am thine. Our name shouldn't be on the roll. We are on God's dream team, if you will. We come early. We stay late. We don't live for God because of the benefits, but because we love it. We don't question the calls. We don't argue with the management. We just love the game that we're doing. 2 Corinthians 9 and 15 says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, for an opportunity to do something in God's team. God destroyed people who were not grateful to him. He did. You know, in Noah's day, they were living 600 years or more. But then it says in the sixth chapter, just about 1,000 years after the creation of man, that every thought of their imagination was evil continually. And God said, that's it. That's it. I'll destroy man. Moses, 40 days on the mountain, came down with the law and found people ungrateful for bringing them out of bondage. Instead of being grateful all of those years being under bondage, now they were ungrateful and couldn't stay for 40 days. We can all think of things that we are grateful for tonight, family and friends and good health and jobs. But let me ask you an important question that perhaps one day you'll be asked by God. Who is thankful for you tonight? What have you done for somebody else that they're thankful to you for? Is it a Bible study that brought you into truth? Is it something that you've given them? Have you encouraged somebody? Have you been there for somebody and they're so grateful that you were there when nobody else was? Have you done something for someone that would cause them to thank God for you? Paul said, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. You see, the side benefit of doing good things for others is they thank God for you and mention you in their prayers. So as we give something to somebody and they're grateful to you because of what you have done, then they go to the higher power and you say, Jesus, bless them. Yeah. Hallelujah. Would you take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews 6 and 10? I'm not preaching long tonight because I know you got to get home to your turkey. That's not your wife or husband. I'm sorry. Hebrews 6 and verse number 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. So what God is saying, listen, I have not forgotten what you have done. I saw what you cooked a meal. You stayed with somebody when they were sick. You helped them. You encouraged them. You prayed for them. Amen. If you'll turn to Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19 and verse number 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. So when we're giving of ourselves to somebody else, it is as if we are giving unto God. And then Matthew 25. In verse 34, very familiar scripture. Verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Oh, I have an opportunity to minister directly to God. How? Through the body of believers. Amen. We're not like other congregations. We're not like any other religion. We're not like, well, that's why there are so many charity groups in this world and foundations for those that have such need, because the church isn't doing what the church is supposed to be. If the church really did what the church is supposed to be, in fact, the fact of the matter is God has set up a financial plan that if everybody paid tithes, we wouldn't be paying 35% in income tax. Of course, the Trinitarians have to pay 30%. Ephesians 5 and 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. And that word submitting means subordinate, considering yourself secondary to anybody else. Amen. Nothing motivates me more than to help people than when people are just thankful. Amen. My wife and I get cards and texts and emails and little things over the years, and you can't imagine how it affects us. And it seems like God always has a timing in it. When something is negative, there's always something positive that comes in, and that's the way it should be through our entire congregation. It really should. Hallelujah. But it's hard to be motivated when people aren't grateful. Amen. And the same is true with God. When God sees our gratitude, he rewards it. You know, 10 lepers healed. One came back, said thank you, and he was made whole. You know, in other words, what happens, he stopped the disease of leprosy, but the one who came back, he made whole. He looked just as good as he did before he had leprosy. You know, it's not enough to stop the sin. It's more important to make us whole, to really enjoy our salvation. Amen. 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 When God sees us helping others, he blesses us. Do you know somebody in this church that has been blessed this year? Who is thankful for you tonight because of your act of love towards them? The problem with having an official day of Thanksgiving is that we wait for perhaps one day instead of being thankful and grateful every day. And that's what I want. I want to be grateful to God every day, because I really do believe it's the train that brings the blessing to us. There's an old saying, you know, here's a glass of water. Is it half full or is it half empty? And if we have the right attitude, that's half full. You know, that could be full, rather than, wow, that's all there is, you see. I really think the attitude determines our latitude and elevation with God. I really do. So all those that are thankful, would you stand? I pray that God gives us an opportunity to say something at a table tomorrow. Hopefully you'll be around a table with family. And you'll be able to say something, because God gave us the Holy Ghost that we could be a witness unto others. And you know, sometimes we keep our mouths shut because we're afraid that it's going to incite a riot or create problems within our family. You know what? I'd rather have them uncomfortable tomorrow than uncomfortable for eternity. And if we don't say it, who's going to? And you don't have to be dogmatic about it. But you can simply say, I am so grateful for what God has done in my life. Do you know we have a lady in our church? Three ladies in our church had stage 4 cancer, and they don't have cancer anymore. I'm so grateful for that. Those are testimonies that you can use around a table, folks.
Hallelujah. And how can you refute that? Maybe you can refute this book, or maybe even this church, or even your pastor. But you can't refute the blessings of God this year and what he has done. And if you would take inventory of the things that have happened to you, there is something within everyone's life that God has done that you can be grateful for and testify of. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?